Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your cloth napkin adapting, light fixture purchasing. I just bought a tiled runner rug, and it is the coolest thing ever, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your cold having, nap needing. It turns out that whittling is good for my brain health, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the strange case of Peter Bergman. Have you ever heard of this, Kathleen?
No, but I am attracted to the last name Bergman for some reason.
Okay, well, this is Bergman with two N's.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, you don't? Okay, that spelling is off for you. Peter Bergman is a case that happened in 2009.
Yeah.
And it's a man who essentially never existed and disappeared. And I'm going to tell you all about it. It's very fascinating.
Well, sort of along the same lines, I am talking. Okay. I don't know why I said that. Not along the same lines at all. I am talking about the deep fake video cheerleading scandal of Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, we're both a very like true crimey episode today. We don't normally do true crime at all.
Yeah, maybe we'll rise in the Apple podcast charts this week because it's always those dang true crime podcasts that get to the top.
I know. Kathleen, we have to talk about you this morning. You are very sick. What is happening?
I have strep throat, which I feel like is karma because I have a friend who's always saying that she has strep throat and I yell at her every time. If you don't want to hang out with us, just don't hang out with us. Adults don't get strep throat anymore.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, turns out I was full of shit and I got strep throat. I'm pretty sure that I got it from my friend who has kids who like got it from daycare. And I'm like, fuck kids, fuck daycare, fuck my friends.
So it hit you like this weekend or when did you get it?
No, Bethany, I was really sick last week. That is why we had to reschedule our live show.
Yeah.
And it was like a sore throat like I've never felt before. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Aww.
And I'm so happy that my mom finally convinced me to go to the doctor because I would have just been sitting here like, why isn't my throat getting better?
You know? Yeah. Oh, strep throat is the worst. If there's two things that I would rather just pass out in a coma than experience firsthand. The first one is a sore throat. The second one is nausea.
Yeah.
Those two things, for some reason, I cannot work through them. I can't power through it, pull yourself up. It's like, no, those two will floor me every time.
I know. Well, I spent the whole weekend just sort of like laying on the couch, which brings a certain, like, you know, when you want to be laying on the couch and relaxing, that's one thing. But when you don't want to be laying on the couch and relaxing, it brings a certain amount of anxiety because you feel guilty for not being productive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, there's so many things I have to do. Like, my in-laws are coming in 2 weeks to see the apartment. And it's still like I haven't finished all the projects. Anyway, Bethany, I want to talk to you about cloth napkins.
Okay, what's going on?
Because you don't really have paper towels at your house.
No, so I seldom do unless I think the only time I have them is when I know someone is coming to watch the cats and they might prefer to put any potential like mistakes or accidents, whatever. But for me, no, I have tea towels and I just use tea towels for everything and then I wash them and bleach them.
Okay, so that was like the first experience that I had with someone not really having paper towels in their house was you. I was watching the cats and there was like a cleanup and I was like, where the heck are Bethany's paper towels?
That's when I started buying them after you.
So sorry. And then
at
my mom's house, she's been using cloth napkins lately. She's like, she unpacked all these boxes and she's like, oh, I'm going to die not ever using my napkins. So she has like a stack of cloth napkins that she keeps on the kitchen table now.
Yeah.
And they're like these really cool old funky 70s patterns. And she's right. Like, you know, if you have them, use them. So I have a handful of cloth napkins that used to be like my good napkins that I would put out. I'm like, screw that. I'm using it all the time. But now I need like some more napkins. And they're like these really pretty ones from food52.com that I want to get. But like, Bethany, I shouldn't be buying these new. No. I should find them vintage somewhere, right?
Or just get potato sack. Was that or flour sack napkins from wherever, Target.
Yeah, yeah.
They sell them in like packs of four. Uh-huh. Just use those. Because if you get really pretty ones,
yeah,
you are not going to want to use them. You're going to want to save them.
I know.
You want to get
yeah
just regular tea towels or regular washcloths that you aren't going to worry about. My family, every time we travel, we buy each other cloth napkins or tea towels from that location. And so I just have like a whole stack of them from around the world. You wash them, they get nice and soft. You use them to mop up coffee. Like they're not precious. And so you're more willing to use them.
We've been given a handful of tea towels from Taste Buds. And
yeah,
they're my favorite things to use. But let me tell you this. My aunt says that she remembers that when they were little, my grandma would give everybody one cloth napkin for the week. And it would live where they sat at the dining room table where they ate. And that's it. You had one napkin for the whole week.
That's great. I think it's wonderful. It also makes you think about the things you're using.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I don't know. I think it's great. Every once in a while, I embroider things for people, and I usually embroider tea towels.
Bethany, you embroidered me something that I should use, but I'm like, no, it's too special.
No, you should use. And I always say, like, use this. Like, I embroidered one for Dennis's parents. I embroidered one for my friend Miran. I was like, use them.
Yeah.
Mop cup coffee with them. Throw them in the washer. Like, use them and don't worry. And don't be afraid. They're great. It's much better for the earth, obviously.
And now I have a question for you. When you're doing your makeup, do you have like a specific set of towels that you wipe your hands on that you don't care that makeup gets on them?
No, those are my towels. I just wash my hands and my towels. So my towels are like white towels that have stains on them, but it's not like anyone's coming over. That's the nice thing too about being like a misanthrope is that no one ever comes over anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
Because now I'm paranoid about my towels because my mom just got me new ones because when she was helping me move, she's like, wow, these are in rough shape. I was like, oh, mom, what am I supposed to do? So now I'm like, do I like take a set of like old towels that are really dingy anyway and just keep a stack of like quote unquote makeup towels in the bathroom and just wipe my hands on those maybe?
Yeah. Like maybe you have a towel rack or a set of hooks in your bathroom and you have your towels on one and then on one hook is just your makeup towel and you bleach it once a week and get the makeup. It's like, you know, who cares? I prefer old towels because new towels don't mop up water as well. They're too soft and they usually just flake off on you and get you covered in whatever material it is.
Yeah.
I want a good – my favorite towel is a towel I stole from Planet Fitness when I still went to Planet Fitness. Maybe it wasn't Planet Fitness because they don't even have towels for you. It was the gym I went to before Planet Fitness.
Oh, my God.
I think it was New York Sports Club. I stole a towel from them because it was so old and had been bleached and chlorinated so many times.
Yeah, rough.
That it when was you rough. Dry yourself off with it, you're also exfoliating a layer of dead skin.
Bethany, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
They're the best. They're rough. They dry you off. Toot sweet. There's none of this like super soft, but also leaves a downy film of cotton behind. And it's like, ugh.
Okay. So my mom just got me new towels from Costco. God bless Costco. They're really soft. They're so luxurious. But when I clean my face, like when I dry my face off and then I put my makeup on, I find little bits of cotton like in between my skin and my foundation.
Yep. Yep. New towels are the worst. New towels are for people who never have to dry off.
Oh
like,
my God.
New towels are dumb. If you give me new towels, you had better pre-wash those new towels at least 10 times and put them through with some chemicals.
This is some really good towel content. This is 9 minutes worth of towel content.
Hashtag towel content. And I know Dennis is editing this and he's editing it like a listener. And so if he thinks the listeners will tune out, he cuts it out. Dennis, you had better not cut out any of this hashtag towel content.
No, towel content is very important. We're saving the earth because I go through I want to say like rolls of paper towels in my household a minimum of two giant ones a week.
No, Kathleen,
I know it's bad. It's bad.
That's awful. Yeah. Do you use paper towels every time you wash your hands?
Not every time, but if I do, because there's like no other towels around, I then lay out the paper towel and let it dry, and then I use it to clean up like a gross spill or something.
Okay, that's a good idea. again, with tea towels, I have tea towels just like hanging in various locations in my kitchen. So if you wash your hands, you just dry them on the tea towel and then the tea towel dries.
Yeah. I need to go to like a vintage market or something and just buy someone's like gross old tea towels and napkins for, I don't know, 5 cents or something.
Get yourself some of those sweet, sweet vintage tea towels where all women were allowed to do was embroider and think about men. And so there is a woman with a water bucket and it says Monday. And then someone embroidered a woman with, you know, a puppy Tuesday. And then it's a woman, a washerwoman doing laundry Wednesday. Like get a bunch of those. Those are great.
Did you watch anything good this weekend?
Yes, we watched Malignant,
which
was in theaters but also streaming on HBO Max. Thank you for your HBO Max login, Kathleen.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
This movie, Kathleen, I think you would like it.
Yeah.
It is bug nuts.
Oh, God, I love it.
I didn't know anything about it going in. I just knew it was James Wan, and I love James Wan. Yeah. And I didn't quite understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this woman living in this house.
Yeah.
And then 2/3 of the way through, just all hell breaks loose and it's insane and so bizarre. And like the cold open of the movie. So like the first just like 3 minutes.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, I watched the first 10 minutes of it already.
Okay.
Before you texted me asking me for my password, and I wasn't captured right away. So I turned it off. But now that like you're saying that to just enjoy something that makes absolutely no sense, now I'm going to go back and enjoy it.
So the first like 3 minute scene takes place in this hospital, and it's so overdramatically acted and the lines are so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, like the patient escaped again, doctor. And the doctor's like, well, put him down, blah, 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 blah. And we thought that it must be a movie that the characters are watching in the movie because it's so over the top. And it sort of seemed like it was pointing to ridiculous Saturday afternoon horror films.
Yeah. At one point, the doctor is like, cut the cancer out.
Yeah. And it's like red blinking lights and sirens and stuff. And just people getting murdered and awful acting. That's part of the movie. That's how insane this movie is.
All right.
What about you? Did you watch anything good while you were lying on the bed in sickness?
Yes. We watched the LuLaRoe documentary.
How is it?
Bethany, speaking of things that are bonkers, first of all, you know, I was indifferent because I really wasn't feeling well. And I was like to Neil, I was just like, oh, just put on whatever you want. And he was so into this.
No, I'm obsessed with LuLaRoe because I remember trying them on before and they were super soft. But it turns out the quality was awful. And yeah, they were an MLM, which is terrible, and a particularly terrible MLM.
Yeah. And now that I realize that these people that I know that were selling LuLaRoe had to spend like $5,000 to buy into the company, I'm like, number one, where did you get like a loosey-goosey $5,000 from to just spend on leggings?
Yeah.
And number two, once I bent over wearing LuLaRoe leggings and I wasn't wearing any underwear and Neil's like, I can literally see your anus right now.
But they're so buttery soft.
Yeah. So it was wild. It turns out to be like they tried to turn it into some Mormon propaganda company too, where the husband of the woman who started it was like, let your husband take over your business. You'll be happier. It's on Hulu and I can't recommend it enough. It's totally bonkers.
I once saw a YouTube video about LuLaRoe. I think it's the Illuminati who did it. And and just like a PSA, if you have to spend your own money to get a job, not like you need to get, you know, an interview outfit, but like the job makes you spend your own money before you're allowed to really join.
Uh-huh.
That's not a good job. That's not a real job. Protect yourself. You're not dumb for joining an MLM. I joined an MLM, but you got to get yourself out because you're only going to lose money. It is almost like the top 1% of people who get in right away are the ones who make money. You cannot make money on an MLM. You just can't.
Unless there are like three other people in the company when you join and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to watch that LuLaRoe documentary because, man, those I just remember people's fingers would go right through the leggings. And then there was like one pattern of leggings. I think it's called the penis print. Have you seen this?
Yeah, where the Eiffel Tower looked like a big dick coming out of someone's vagina. Bethany.
So ridiculous.
There was another print that was the hamburger print where like two hamburgers were really unfortunately sewn together right at the crotch line. It literally looked like if a vagina was a hamburger.
Oh my God.
And, one of the key people in the documentary is a pattern maker who absolutely did not buy into the LuLaRoe culture. And she was just there to make some money. And they had to turn out, Bethany, something insane, like 20 new prints a day or something.
I can see why then. They were so atrocious.
I mean, they had – so, I mean, it was 20 prints a day. I just – as a graphic designer – at that point, you were 100% not doing any quality work. Like, I couldn't even imagine that kind of pressure. Anyway.
You're probably just like, I don't know graphic image terms.
Yeah.
Here's a vector. Yeah. I'm going to duplicate this vector on multiple different Y and X scales.
And now I'm going to manipulate it and like toss in a picture of the Colosseum and the Eiffel Tower and the Leaning Tower of Pisa and Empire State Building and ta-da!
Ta-da! Nebulate that! Vector! Kathleen, I just got a package in the mail. It was a nice, hard little box, and inside the box was nice, hard foam, and inside the foam were nesting three Brush toothbrush heads, which is how I knew it was time to replace my toothbrush head. Brush reminds you by just sending you the new ones.
Oh, Bethany, I'm so jealous. I love hard packages.
I do too. You can save it for other stuff.
After I use my Brush toothbrush, it's not like any other toothbrush I've ever had before. My teeth feel super clean because I love the max setting. There are all these different settings. And then I like really get into all those nooks and crannies. And it's like my teeth are dinner plates. I could eat steak off of them.
I love mine too. My teeth feel so great. My dentist just complimented me on my overall oral hygiene. Mm-hmm. Which is thanks to Brush. And if you've been wanting to get a nice sonic toothbrush, but you don't want to pay an insane sonic toothbrush price, Brush is the toothbrush for you. It has six unique modes. I use the gentle one because my teeth are sensitive. Kathleen uses the please whiten my teeth and take everything off of them setting.
Brush away my sins.
Plus, it has a 4-week battery life, a really cool tiny little magnetic charging stand that isn't going to take up a ton of space, and a nice compact travel case too.
And I love the sleek design because I have like this really cool pink toothbrush. Neil has a black one. My mom has a forest green. And when Neil and I stand our little brushes up next to each other in the bathroom, I'm like, look at us. We're so hygienic.
And the thing is, too, I love how matte they are. Like, it's not a shiny toothbrush. I have like this lavender one, and it's a matte lavender. So it just looks so modern and really sleek and pretty.
Ooh, on trend.
So get 15% off your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. That's 15% off using the promo code TASTE at Brush.com.
Brush.
Okay, so Kathleen, do you want me to go first so you can rest your voice a little bit, make your throat feel not so bad?
Okay, let's do your topic, Bethany.
Are you just going to do voice to text?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. This is going to be great. This is going to go so well, I can tell.
Let's go.
So, Kathleen, this is the strange case of Peter Bergman. Have you heard? I've already asked you that.
Oh.
Are you ready for some spooky, interesting, exciting, scary stories?
Yes, girl.
Okay. All right. I don't like Siri calling me girl.
Sorry. This is not working as well as I wanted it to.
Okay. So, Kathleen, from June 12th to June 16th of 2009.
Oh, I remember those years.
Yeah. It was actually not that terribly long ago, considering most spooky cases seem like they happened between the 1950s and the 1970s, the most frightening of decades.
Can I tell you that June of 2009 was the coldest, rainiest June ever? Ever.
How do you know this?
I don't know why I remember this, but I remember where I was working at the time. And I remember I got an assistant that month and I was really excited. It was just absolutely so cold and rainy and bitter that month. It was a bad June.
Well, it was a bad June for another reason.
Okay.
A man checked into the Sligo City Hotel in the seaport town of Sligo in Northwest Ireland.
Yeah, I've been to Sligo.
Oh, great. Yeah. Is it beautiful?
It's beautiful.
Okay, great. Well, this man's name was Peter Bergman. Here's the deal. He was a white man with short gray hair. He was slender, 5'10 and a half inches tall.
Uh-huh.
He was well-groomed, and he seemed to be in his late 50s or early 60s. And he was dressed really nicely. He was wearing a black leather jacket, blue pants, blue socks. He seemed like a healthy, fit, older gentleman who was maybe like a professional guy who was on a business trip or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So staff and fellow hotel visitors who saw him going in and out said he had a heavy German or Austrian accent and that he was polite, but he definitely kept his interactions with people to a minimum.
Okay.
He wasn't interested in making friends or really chatting with many people.
That sounds like me and you.
Yeah. You know, you're there, you're doing a solo vacation or you're doing a solo work trip. You're not really looking to engage. You're just kind of getting done what you need to get done.
Yeah. Listen to my podcast and drink a beer. Leave me alone.
Exactly. So this is 2009, so there are surveillance videos all over Sligo, and there's videos of him online. You can see him over the next few days going around the city, smoking outside, and he's running the many errands that he seemed intent on running while he was there.
You know when you're watching a show that takes place in Europe somewhere, they're always like, ah, pull the CCTV footage.
Yeah.
Or the CTV or whatever it's called. Why don't we have that here in the United States?
We have it everywhere.
We do? We have CTV in the United States?
Yeah. It's just closed circuit television. So it's like TV that's not being broadcast over like a network or over the TV, but it's like an internal. Yeah, it's being recorded. It's like an internal system from, and I might be totally wrong on this, but this is what I'm led to believe. Like stores will have CCTV. So it's like the security cameras in the stores or the security cameras outside stores. Everywhere you go in America, especially in big cities, you are being filmed. No doubt about it.
I was under the impression that it only existed in Europe because they were just more conscientious about keeping their citizens safe in America.
Let me look it up really quickly. CCTV.
Because you never hear like them talking about on Law and Order, pull the CCTV. They're always like, check the cameras on the stoplights or whatever.
Widely utilized by law enforcement agencies, schools, businesses, and private residences, CCTV network cameras capturing and transmitting real-time audio and video to users' private monitors and smartphones. Yeah, so I think it's a little bit like we call the system that tells you where to go via satellites. We call it GPS. But like in Europe, they call it sat-nav. I think it's the same thing. We just call it different things.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's important in this case because there's CCTV footage of him everywhere.
Yeah, smoking cigs.
Smoking cigs, drinking caps, popping bottles. So here's the timeline of events. I'm going to try to kind of breeze through this because there's a lot of information, but also no information at all.
So remind me of the dates just quickly again before you go through it.
June 12th through the 16th of 2009.
So 4 days.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So on Friday, June 12th, Peter Bergman took the bus from Derry to Sligo, and he was carrying just a black shoulder bag and a carry-on bag. That was it.
Oh, okay.
He checked into the hotel, and he paid in cash in full for 3 nights, and he gave his name as Peter Bergman, and he gave an address in Vienna, Austria, as his home.
Okay.
It was later determined that Peter Bergman came to Sligo in order to vanish. This is from Wikipedia, so I'm just going to read it because they did a good job of describing it. So,
yeah.
During his stay at the hotel, the man was seen on security camera footage leaving the building with a purple plastic bag full of items or personal effects. However, when he returned from his long walk, he was no longer carrying the bag. Now, when they went back and looked at the CCTV footage, they found that he did this 13 times over his stay.
What?
He left the hotel with a purple plastic bag full of something and came back with no bag at all. So probably he emptied everything out of the purple bag and was able to wrap it up and put it in his pocket. It's assumed that he disposed of his belongings throughout Sligo, and authorities were unable to identify what he threw away, where he threw them away, because he seems like he was able to figure out the surveillance system of the city, and he was able to use the blind spots of the surveillance cameras to his advantage.
That's a really smart idea. when you want to get rid of something.
Yep.
That you don't want people to know you got rid of.
Yep.
Plastic bag. Just go on a walk. Different city garbage cans. But can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
Why is he even on the radar of the local officials?
We'll come to that. This is all after the fact. So this is all police going, okay, wait a minute. Now what happened here?
Mm.
Okay, so his movements were so meticulous and methodical. It's like he knew where to hide items to prevent him from being identified. So then on Saturday, the next day, he goes to the post office in the morning. He buys 10 stamps and airmail stickers.
Huh.
But again, CCTV never captured him sending any mail or packages. Then the next day, he left the hotel in mid-morning and he asked a taxi driver if the taxi driver knew any good beaches, like a nice quiet beach where he could swim. He had suggested one beach, but the taxi driver was like, I don't think that one's more for surfers. You're going to want to go to Ross's Point. It's nice and quiet. There's a lot of people just swimming around nicely. So Peter gets in the cab. The cab driver drives him to this beach. He gets out, walks around a little bit, takes the same cab back. So it's almost like it was a recon mission. He didn't go swimming. He didn't walk around like and take in the sights. He just kind of looked at it and then came back to the hotel. Now, Monday, June 15th, Peter checks out of the hotel, hands his room key. He left with a black shoulder bag, the same purple plastic bag that they'd been seeing him leave with, but a different black luggage bag. The original luggage bag he came with, they never saw again.
What?
And when he was caught on CCTV arriving at the bus station, he didn't have the black bag at all. It was gone. He had gotten rid of it at some point between the hotel and the bus station. They never found that bag. Then he goes to the shopping center and just stands in the doorway for a few minutes, just awkwardly stands in the doorway. And then he goes to the bus station. He sits down. There's a little bus station cafe. He orders a cappuccino, toasted ham and cheese sandwich, and smokes a cigarette.
Oh.
And this is maybe the weirdest part, Kathleen.
Okay.
While he's eating his food, there is CCTV footage of him taking pieces of paper out of his pocket, reading them, and then tearing them up. Then he takes a piece of paper out of his pocket, writes something on it, and tears it up. And all of the pieces of paper that were in his pocket, he tears them up and throws them into a nearby rubbish bin. They were never able to find those papers.
I thought you were going to say he swallowed them.
Kathleen, this is the last day that Peter Bergman would be alive.
Okay.
He got on the bus. He went to Ross's Point, that beach that he had looked at the day before. About 16 people saw him walking on the beach, and he was casually saying hi to people, but he was sort of staying to himself.
That's what you do when you're trying to build an alibi. You say hi to strangers.
Yes, and you ask people what time it is, so you for sure know that they see you.
Yeah, and you wear something that's like a little bit memorable.
Yeah, you wear your purple Goosebumps hat that you got for free from the R.L. Stein novels when you were in middle school. You make sure that you, or like, you know, you wear a sash that says, I'm the bride.
Yeah. Or like, you're like, ah, man, I'm so sick. And, but you like have really just painted your face red to make you look like you're sick.
Yeah. And then you throw up in public, but it's really just oatmeal.
All casual things.
Super casual. If you're trying to disappear or get an alibi, ask us. We'll help.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so good at alibis.
Okay. So, 9:30 p.m. He is still at the beach. Huh. A couple said they saw him walking along the beach. He had his pants rolled up to his ankles, just kind of plodding along. They said he seemed like he was thinking, but he was just, you know, you do when you're not wearing beachy attire, you roll your pants up and you walk in the surf, right?
I get it. And then, you know, he's a pensive dude. You know, that's not that weird.
So the man of this couple who saw him, the man said he was stepping very deliberately when he was walking through the water's edge. He said he was going 1 foot then the other. And it struck this guy how strange his movement was.
Huh.
He said, it appeared to me to be some kind of a ritual in his procedure from right to left, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, going back and forth.
Now, either this guy is a time traveler and this is how he gets back. Or he's sending a message to somebody.
Ooh, like what? Like, what do you mean?
Like, if you show up at Ross's Point and then use this cadence in your step in this section of the beach in these rocks, like, then I know that you're trying to tell me that it's time to disappear.
Mm. Gotcha. Like maybe someone else is watching and he knows they're watching. Yeah. And so he's like doing this thing.
The person that'll disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 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 I like this very much. Yeah. Okay. So then 10:30 p.m., someone else in the public saw Peter Bergman with a plastic bag wearing his glasses.
Hmm.
11 p.m., he's still at the beach. A different person sees him with a plastic bag.
He's at the beach for too long.
He is at the beach all day. 10 minutes later, so 11:10 p.m., he was seen still wearing his glasses, sitting on one of the benches that overlooked the beach.
Okay. Gentle listeners, if you are like, how are people still recognizing this man at the beach at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night? It is because in Ireland, especially in Sligo, you know, Northern Ireland, it stays sunny until 11:30. And June, this part of June, you're approaching the solstice. So you're approaching the longest day of the year.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could, it's still like daylight at 10 o'clock at night, approaching the solstice in Northern Ireland.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank mm-hmm. you, Kathleen.
Oh, you're welcome.
The final sighting of Peter Bergman alive mm-hmm. was by a woman at 11:50 p.m. He was carrying a plastic bag. He was walking alone by the edge of the incoming ocean, and high tide was set to arrive within half an hour.
I want to know the quality of this plastic bag because he's really making it go the distance.
Yeah, he is. You know what it looked like to me was one of those, if you go to like a small business boutique,
yeah,
where you can buy those super soft, what are they called? Like jelly cat stuffed animals. And you can also buy cute underwear, and you can also buy cards that are like vintage women yeah. that say things like it's 1 o'clock, right? Like that kind of a store.
Yeah.
They'll pack everything up in a really thick
yes.
purple plastic bag.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me.
In my head, I've definitely had blue ones in the past.
Yes. Yes.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like the size of your typical plastic bag, but like it's a little thicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was 2009. It was before those plastic bags got real thin. So
yeah.
you could reuse them.
Because now you can look at like a thin plastic bag and you just look at it the wrong way and it's like, oh, all your contents are on the floor.
I know. It's so easily offended. Okay. So the morning of June 16th, Kathleen, a father and son are walking along the Ross's Point Beach. The son is training for a triathlon. So that's why they're up so early and doing their thing.
Oh, yeah.
They discover Peter Bergman's body. So the last time he was seen, he was wearing his long pants. Now he is wearing purple striped Speedo swim trunks. Over those, he put his underwear.
What?
And he had a navy t-shirt that was tucked in.
What?
The tide was out.
Yeah.
There were no footprints around the body.
What?
And it looks like the body washed in. And then they later found all of Peter Bergman's regular clothes folded up on a rock, and all of the clothing labels, anything that could specify them to Peter Bergman, had been cut out.
Get out of here.
Police started investigating. They realized the address he had given the hotel did not exist, and that Peter Bergman didn't exist either. The name was fake, and investigators never, ever found the bags he had come into town with or his real identity. This man remains unidentified to this day.
This is wild.
It's gonna, Kathleen, it's about to get wilder.
Okay, okay. Tell me more. Tell me more.
So the coroner determined that the man had not drowned.
Because there's no water in his lungs, because that means you're already dead when someone throws you in the river.
Exactly. No water in his lungs, no sign of drowning. Also, no signs of foul play.
Huh.
They didn't find any drugs in his system.
What?
So it didn't look like he died of a drug overdose. But here's the weird thing, Kathleen. So the fact that he didn't have drugs in his system is bizarre because the coroner also discovered that the man was sick. He had advanced stages of prostate cancer.
Oh.
He had bone tumors. His heart showed signs of previous heart attacks.
Oh my
He
God.
Only had one kidney.
What?
And because of all of this, he would have been in so much physical pain all the time. And yet he was not taking any painkillers to help manage that pain.
Aliens, Bethany. It was aliens.
Okay. What would you actually... Okay, so given this information,
yes.
what would you think had happened? Being logical, you are a detective. You're trying to come up with the most realistic thing that you think could have happened.
I think a lonely man, probably from Vienna,
mm-hmm.
who had no family, no friends. He probably didn't make a lot of money. I want to say he was like a day laborer. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't have health care. if he quit his job, nobody would go looking for him or think twice about contacting him later after he quit. I think that he was like, I've been such a loner in this life. Nobody really cares about me and nobody really knows me. I would like to disappear from this world. Like, I know I'm so sick. I know that I'm going to die. I would like to disappear from this world in the same fashion in which I lived in it, totally anonymous. He goes to Ireland, and I think probably he's in a lot of pain, so much pain that he just is like, okay, body, it's time to die. And his body is like, okay, it's time to die.
That's what I thought too.
Really?
But there's one piece of information that made me so confused that now I don't know what to think.
Okay.
This man went to great lengths to get rid of all of his personal information, to throw away all of his personal belongings in a way that no one would ever find them. He was so secretive. He gave a fake name, a fake address. So I was like, he probably went here knowing he only had a few weeks left to live. And he somehow died. Like, maybe he, because they didn't do a full toxicology screening. They tested for like, you know, painkillers or whatever, but they didn't do a full scan. So maybe he took something to end his life and he wanted to end his life on his terms. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The coroner discovered the man had died of a heart attack.
Huh.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
How can you simultaneously plan to get rid of all traces of your identity, but also die in a super unplanned way?
There's gotta be a drug that induces a heart attack.
That has to be what it was. Because how do you go to the beach seemingly saying goodbye to the world, doing like this whole meditative, ritualistic sort of pacing and thinking and changing your clothes, and then you just happen to have a heart attack? How, like that, like if you're looking to go out, that's like the luckiest timing to have a heart attack.
I am wondering if, because he was so sick, he probably, his pain tolerance was pretty high.
Yeah.
Think about this. He goes out. He is just, you know, like dead man's floating. He's already taken this drug. He knows he's about to have a heart attack. He's having a heart attack. He is floating in the water. So he is still breathing. Dead man's float. Then all of a sudden, he stops breathing. He is now dead.
Yeah.
And then so it wasn't drowning. That's why there's no water in his lungs. And that's how his body washed up.
Sure. I mean, that's you probably nailed it. It didn't occur to me that you could take something to induce a heart attack. Is that a real drug? Can you actually do that?
I mean,
maybe you just do. But like if he had done a ton of coke and make his heart explode, they would have seen the coke, I think, on the toxicology screen. Like they didn't do a huge one, but I think they probably looked for drugs, like illicit drugs.
Is there a drug that can induce a heart attack?
Induce
cocaine and crack.
Okay. So.
Okay. But maybe he like injected cocaine directly into his heart with a needle that was so thin the coroner didn't even see it.
Coroners always see it.
I know. Do you know coroners can look at your hair and based on, excuse me. Oh my God. Sorry. Okay. Do you know that coroners can look at your hair and then figure out based on like, I don't know, some sort of like the oxygen level in the water from certain parts of your hair where you were living, like in certain time periods of your life?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Science is crazy.
I know. So if you're living in the Ukraine and the tips of your hair say Ukraine, but the, you know, the roots of your hair say America, they can figure out that you moved from the Ukraine to America.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's why you got to go Britney and shave your hair. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she did know what she was doing.
Do you want to hear theories?
Yes, I would like to hear theories.
Okay. Here's the not helpful theories. He was an extraterrestrial human who was lost on Earth. Not helpful.
I believe that one.
Some people say he was the child of a Nazi war criminal who wanted to hide his identity.
Oh.
Let's not speak ill of the dead. Like, that just seems unfair. There's really no evidence to point to that. So let's not label him a Nazi postmortem, okay?
Okay.
Some people say it was an elaborate hoax invented by the man who made the 2013 documentary about Peter Bergman, which I will link in the show notes. It's great. It's a 16-minute long documentary, so it's nice and like compact. This is literally impossible for this to be a hoax because police confirmed that it's a real case that actually happened, so not a hoax.
Why was he wearing his underpants over his Speedo?
We don't know. Here are some theories that are actually possible. He was a spy.
Ah.
There have been other stories of people being found dead in the wild, and they also have tags cut out of their clothes. So it might be a spy thing. Plus, he knew how to avoid CCTV cameras. He seemed to have an understanding of how to get rid of stuff without people finding it. So that's possible.
Maybe he relayed the information that he needed to relay mm-hmm. over his weird days living in Sligo. And then it was time for him to say bye-bye.
Maybe. Some people say he was a gangster on the run and there was some sort of organized crime who was after him. And some people think he was trying to claim a life insurance policy for his family. Again, that one seems a little bit outlandish.
You don't get that insurance money when somebody just goes missing.
Right, but they found his body, so he's dead.
Yeah, but nobody knows what his real name is. He didn't exist.
Great point. And also, no one's ever come forward as being his family. No one's ever come forward as knowing him, working with him, being a friend of his. No one knows if the letters or package he sent out ever made it anywhere. No one has ever claimed that they received anything from him. No one has ever, 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 ever said they know him. And it was 2009. This is not that long ago. Nobody has come forward knowing who this man is or what he was doing or why he was there.
I wonder how he got to Ireland, if he got on a plane or they just don't know.
That's the other thing. They just don't know. They don't know. They know that he got to Derry somehow, but they don't know how he got from Germany or Austria or wherever he lived.
Yeah.
To Ireland. There's so much about him, Kathleen. No one knows. And it is fascinating.
We have so much to learn from this case, Bethany, because you and I talk about disappearing ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate. He did it.
He did it.
But we would like to remain alive when we disappear ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's different. That, I guess, just requires more money and planning.
It's a tricky part, yeah.
That's the tricky part. So if anyone has extra money sitting around or extra planning sitting around, let us know.
Or if you know how to organize offshore accounts, I would like a quick tutorial on that.
Please stop saying sketchy tax stuff on our podcast.
Okay. All right. Bethany, it was aliens. It was aliens. It was aliens. It was aliens.
You look. You sound like the guy from that show with the big hair. It was aliens. I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
It was aliens. There's no other explanation. But the underwear over the Speedo. What kind of underwear?
I don't know. I don't know. It was just underwear over his swim trunks.
Tidy whities?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't. You know what? I didn't look at the underwear information.
Well, we need to go back. That's important.
Okay. Well, you know what? Next week, I'll do a part two focusing just on his underwear.
Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen?
You know what I love more than anything else in this world?
Napping?
Well, yes, but also not having to think too hard about making dinner.
Kathleen, you know how I feel about this. I once had just a box of orange Tic Tacs for dinner, and then you told me that's not a good dinner.
There's no nutrition in that.
You don't know that.
And that's why we love being partners with Green Chef, because Green Chef makes it really easy to make a delicious and nutritious dinner, and they have immune-boosting food to help you stay healthy and fueled up during the jam-packed fall season.
And if you are someone who has kids going back to school and life has just gotten a bit more hectic, Green Chef is for you. They are going to do the meal planning, the grocery shopping, and even some of the food prep for you, so you have more time to tackle this back-to-school season because you're already feeling like you're going to pull your hair out. Don't worry about the food part of it.
The last time I had a Green Chef delivery, Bethany, Shepherd's pie.
Oh, I love a shepherd's pie.
Me too. I love mushy foods that are all mushed together. But I also love premium ingredients like organic veggies and high quality proteins like the ones that Green Chef gives you.
And if you are vegan or vegetarian like I am, they have a creamy truffle penne, which it's amazing and delicious. Everything that you need to make sure that you're eating well and not having a box of Tic Tacs for dinner.
So to get in on this amazing Green Chef action, all you have to do is go to greenchef.com/taste100 and then use the code TASTE100 to get $100 off, including free shipping.
Again, go to greenchef.com/taste100 and then use the code TASTE100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Kathleen, I have set up a literal hydration station in my kitchen now. I have all of my flavors of Liquid IV in this glass box, and they all are laid out and by flavor. And my current favorite flavor of Liquid IV is white cherry.
Oh,
oh yes, my God.
I tried the white cherry this weekend. It's so good.
It's so good.
You know, it's so funny. Every time I drink my liquid IV, which I've been guzzling lately because I have a little thing going on with my throat.
You're very sick. No, it's not nothing little about it.
I always say to myself, ooh, time to go to the hydration station. It makes me laugh.
And Dennis was really sick a couple weeks ago. And so I said to him, hey, we need to get you super hydrated. Do you want watermelon or white cherry liquid IV? And he goes from the living room, he goes, both. Because he was super whiny.
And I guess Neil's mom has heard us talking about liquid IV so much. We're like their spokespeople. We just go around telling people about liquid IV.
I know.
She's like, so I finally bought some of it in Costco and I'm really liking it.
It's like, yeah, of course you are, because it's the best.
So gentle listener, if you're wondering what liquid IV is, it's this magical little packet with powder inside and you pour it in your water and you stir a little bit and it turns into a drink that will give you the power of the gods.
And by power of the gods, we mean five essential vitamins. So you get more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana. Plus, one stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you faster and more efficiently than water alone. It's vegan, it's free of gluten and dairy and soy, and it's a healthier alternative to sugary sports drinks. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TASTE at checkout. One more time, that's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today going to liquidiv.com and using the promo code TASTE.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
We are gathered here today to talk about the deep fake cheerleading scandal of Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what year did this happen?
This happened last year. This is 2020.
Oh, because deepfakes, I guess, aren't that old. So yeah, that makes sense.
Most of my research is based off of an article from Cosmopolitan by Kelly Maria Kordecki. I'm going to link everything in the show notes. But let me tell you about Doylestown, Pennsylvania, just to set the scene. As Bucks County, Pennsylvania is sold to vacationers around the tri-state area, it's picturesque. 25 miles north of Center City, Philadelphia, they have a historical castle there, Bethany. A historical castle.
Ooh, I love a historical castle. I wonder if there's an oubliette in it.
It's the number two place to check out in Doylestown, according to vacationidea.com.
What's number one?
It's some sort of kids' playground.
Aw, come on.
In this town, there is a training facility for competitive cheerleaders, specifically the Victory Vipers All-Stars.
This place sounds super healthy for everyone's emotions. I bet that everyone's body image is great.
Yes. Yep.
When they are there. Mm-hmm. I bet everyone's real emotionally supportive and no one's yelling at anyone.
I get competitive cheerleading. I was a cheerleader. I used to compete in high school. I get it. Not to the level.
It's amazing.
Where these competitive cheerleaders are doing it because they're not associated with like your local hometown high school. These are girls. They only competitively cheer. They don't cheer for like, you know, their football teams or whatever.
This is like a level of athleticism that I don't understand. Because if you've ever watched competitive cheer, it's amazing. They're chucking ladies up in the air. Yeah. Like they don't like willy nilly. Girls are flying. It's amazing. They don't hit a light. It's crazy.
What I don't get is like these competitive cheer squads, they always have to have like really aggressive names. Like, why do these little girls have to wear this like sinister snake, this viper, this logo on their uniforms? Mm-hmm. It looks like the person who designed it went through an Ed Hardy phase. Like, it's not pretty.
Well, when I was growing up, my elementary school, when I first went there, our mascot was the Panther.
Oh.
But around second grade, school administrators decided that was too aggressive for little kids.
I get it.
So they did a contest and all of the students could put in what we thought the logo mascot should be.
Yeah.
And we ended up being the Putnam Heights, three kids in front of a school. One of them is in a wheelchair. One of them is holding an apple. That was our mascot.
You were the nothings.
We were the go Putnam Heights, three kids in front of a school. One of them is in a wheelchair. One of them is holding an apple. Fight, fight, fight.
In high school, I was the Comets, which actually was quite lovely because it wasn't like a sinister animal. And there was always like a solar system theme to everything we wore.
That's cool. And if you're unathletic, you can be like, well, comets are really just falling. And so am I.
they're going places. So Cosmo writes, on a typical weekday evening, there's a steady stream of minivans and SUVs outside of the training facility for the Victory Vipers All-Stars. Apparently, in Bucks County, sports are everything.
Uh-oh.
The kids are just totally immersed in being athletic.
That is great.
Even during the off season, apparently these cheerleaders, they have to train 3 days a week to stay in shape. This is the off season.
I mean, look, you know, you got to keep it tight.
I get it.
If you're being chucked in the air, you got to make sure that you can be chucked with the velocity.
Safely.
Yeah, safely. And you can, all I know is keeping it tight. That's really the only thing. So I'm going to be like peppering that throughout, Kathleen, your segment, just so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, because sports.
I always thought that I would, if I had children, I'd be like, yeah, you should be a cheerleader. Mommy was a cheerleader. I was captain of the cheer squad. I loved cheerleading, but I'm looking at this competitive cheerleading website and I'm like, actually, I think I want my girls to play soccer.
Soccer, or put them in a dance crew.
Yes.
Put them in, like, you know, get them to be like in the royal family. That's amazing. They do that backpack move.
I'm thinking that cheerleading is not, I'm looking at these little girls over sexualized, making these crazy faces, and I think I've changed my mind about cheerleading. But anyway.
Yeah.
Like the pandemic for most of us, the Victory Vipers All-Stars, they had to shut down their gym because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
But right before the gym shut down, a new girl joined, and her name was Maddie Heim. She was 16 years old. She fit right in. She was a talented cheerleader, and she also had 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Whoa! Like before this, she was like, she came in with that.
Yeah, she's a young, hot girl. I get it, you know. So Maddie was a flyer and a bass, which means that she was multi-talented.
Okay.
I was a bass because I was always heavy.
So if you don't know cheerleading, what's a flyer and what's a bass?
Okay, so a flyer is the girl that gets tossed in the air.
Okay.
And bases are people on that catch, you know, they're the powerhouses, the ones with all the muscles.
Okay.
And then you have a spotter in the back to make sure everybody's, you know, doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
But when you're a flyer, it's like the exclusive position because you're tiny.
You're little.
You're a little. And there was a teammate. Maddie had a teammate. So Maddie was a flyer and a base. Her teammate, Allie Spohn, was exclusively a flyer.
Whoa.
So that's like what you want to be, because you're always the girl that people are looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like doing the craziest.
Yeah.
You're the one in front, essentially, except you're the one high.
Yes. And you're the one taking the most chances because you got to be tossed in the air and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were friendly. Despite a little competition, they were friendly. They even attended a cheer sleepover together without any rivalry getting in the way of fun.
Okay, great.
So in July 2020, when the gym was open again, the gym, you know, they were having a tough time. They're like, oh, is COVID going to shut us down again? They were trying to hold tryouts. It was very top-notch stressful in the cheer world.
Okay.
And then one of the Vipers coaches got an anonymous text. It was video footage. It was grainy and it was low res, but the subject was unmistakable. A petite blonde that was Maddie Heim nonchalantly pulling from a blue vape pen and releasing a controlled plume of artificially flavored smoke into the air.
Okay, I'm guessing this is against the rules.
Yes. The angle was too close to make out where she was or whom she was with, but she seemed to know that she was being filmed. Her eyes flitted towards the camera as she laughed. She looked casual, relaxed, and a little defiant.
Okay, okay.
Totally against the rules. If you're caught smoking or drinking alcohol or anything like that, vaping, you're off the team. Maddie denied everything. She's like, it's not me. It's a video, but it's not me. She's like, it's a fake, but nobody's going to believe me because it's a video.
Yeah. You can fake a photo, but video is real.
Maddie's mother, Jennifer Heim, she's like, I believe you. And they reported the video to the local police. They also told the local police that Maddie had been receiving these threatening messages for the past month from an unknown number saying things like, you should kill yourself, as well as sending her photos that were doctored to make her appear nude and drinking alcohol.
Okay, so just to remind me,
yeah,
Maddie is The new girl who came with all the followers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Allie is the one who they're like a little bit rivals because they're both flyers. But Allie is the one who's exclusively the flyer.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Then two other squad moms also reported receiving anonymous messages. One got photos with her daughter in a bikini with captions written all over the images regarding toxic traits, revenge, dating boys, smoking. I don't know. Another got a text saying that her daughter was drinking at the shore, smoking pot, and uses the screen name Attention Whore 69, whore with a zero instead of an O. Okay.
All right. Got to add that 69.
69.
Got always got to add the 69.
I know it's your favorite number, Bethany. So police traced the text messages to a messaging platform named Pinger.
Okay.
And it led to a single unexpected source. Allie Spohn's mom.
Her mom?
Rafaela Spohn. I tried to download Pinger because I was like, I'm going to try out this app and I'm going to send Bethany anonymous text messages like,
yeah,
something wonderful is going to happen today.
Yeah, which is exactly what you love your anonymous messages to say.
Yeah.
I'm outside your window. Something great's going to happen.
I'm sure there are ways to send truly anonymous text messages, but if anybody was trying to use this specific app, this Pinger app,
yeah,
you have to include your credit card because you get the first month for free, but then you have to pay for $4.99 to use the app the subsequent months. So stupid, because somebody's going to obviously
track that. Yeah.
I guess you could use like a Visa card or I don't know. Like a, you know, like a gift card.
Yeah, like a gift card but I guess you probably can't send videos with a burner phone. Cuz like use a burner phone. That's like untraceable, but yeah, I don't think you can like log on to anything with a burner phone.
This goes back to our CCTV conversation. I think burner phones can be tracked to where they were purchased, can't they?
Sure, but if you purchase it with cash while wearing a wig.
That's true.
Then you're completely invisible.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So these messages are going out to these three girls on the squad. The main girl is Maddie Heim. She was the one with the vaping video. Police arrest Rafaela Spohn, Allie's mom, and accuse her of manipulating photos from social media of these three girls and creating deep fake videos to try and get them kicked off the squad. She was also accused of digitally altering these girls to appear naked in some of these photos.
That's insane.
A sports mom.
You know what? Sports parents, they're tough.
I think about this a lot because I have nieces and nephews and they're all like crazy athletic. Like I have a nephew who's 6 feet tall. He's only 14 years old. Like he's already dressing for varsity football. Like,
wow.
My nieces are also very athletic. Like in athleticism runs in Neil's family. Like they're good athletes.
I wonder what that's like. I know. Creativity runs in my family, which means we sit a lot and think.
I had a grandfather who was a semi-professional baseball player, actually.
Ooh, what team did he play for?
You know what? It was the 1920s and 30s, but he was on the Georgetown University baseball team for years and years because that's where he did his undergrad and he went to law school there. But baseball's like the least athletic sport, you know?
If it was the 20s, it was probably like the Georgetown Sassafrases. The Skidamaroos.
So, of course, the mom, Rafaela Spohn, she's like, I'm denying it. You know, like,
of course,
this wasn't me. 6 counts of misdemeanor, harassment and child cyber and endangerment. Not me.
Did she actually say, I'm denying this?
No, I put that in her. I put that in her mouth.
If you ever do something awful and you actually did it, please yell, I'm denying this. I declare bankruptcy.
I declare, I'm unfriending you, or like put it on my wall. What's that commercial? The grandma who puts photos on her wall. I'm unfriending you. That's not how any of this works. And this case gained national attention. One, because the idea of a suburban mom creating a deep fake is like very sexy.
Of course.
But number two, in Bucks County, the district attorney used it to gain attention because he is up for election this year, re-election this year.
Oh.
But, you know, the Doylestown, Pennsylvania police force, they're a small town police force. So it was kind of like they were getting more attention that they could handle.
Sure. And they probably don't have a cyber expert.
Yeah.
You know, who's like a goth chick, but she works for the police because she got caught hacking into something. And they were like, you can either go to jail or you can work for us. And so she's like, she works for them, but you know, she has her own ideas.
Yes, definitely. They don't have one of those characters. So can we talk about what a deepfake is for a second, just in case anybody is confused?
Yes.
It's a still image that's mapped onto an existing video, and it alters the appearance of the person in the video to show the likeness of the person in the still image instead.
Yeah. It's nuts. They're getting better and better. And the frightening thing about it is that you, I think I've mentioned this in previous episodes, like it will get to the point very soon.
Yeah.
Where it will be visually impossible to tell the difference. Like you can probably go into the metadata and tell if this is a fake video or not.
Yeah.
But just to your average viewer who clicks on a video and is like, I hate this person and now I hate them more because they look like they're saying something that they would never say.
Yep.
They're not going to stop and look at metadata. It could also be used to take, you know, people or performers who have passed away and put them into projects they would never sign on for. Like there's a lot of stuff that can be done with this.
And if you Google how to make a deep fake, it's not even like you need to like dig hard to find tutorials. At least a dozen tutorials show up like right off the bat when you're looking for this information. Basically anyone with a smartphone can make a deep fake. It doesn't require a Hollywood studio anymore. Think about all these filters that we use on Snapchat and Instagram. And you know, for a while I was seeing this trend on Facebook where people were putting their face like in an Ariana Grande video or in a Britney Spears video, right?
Yeah, it looked so scary. It was really not good.
I mean, yeah, but at first glance, if you lower that resolution, I might not be able to tell.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. The better and better it gets, or the more we're just sort of skimming things, you know, we're in for a world of trouble.
Face swap? Anybody can do that.
Yeah. I saw a woman who put her own face on her dog's face and then they were singing a duet and it was so funny. It was so funny, Kathleen.
Maybe that's why they haven't released the next Avatar movie yet, because this deep fake stuff is just too mainstream now.
This is old news.
You know, there was this like really strange series of TikTok videos that came out this year of Tom Cruise doing things, but it actually wasn't Tom Cruise, but it was impossible to tell that it wasn't Tom Cruise.
And he, you know, the only difference really is the dynamism of the man. And, you know, sometimes that comes through in his performance, but like you really have to be keyed into his star quality and also how fast he runs. He's the fastest, he's the best runner, the best on-camera runner in Hollywood, Kathleen. Do you know that?
The really crazy part about that, him being the fastest runner, is that his legs are really not that long.
He's so small, but he has to try harder. It's like the tortoise and the hare, you know? You just keep working on it.
Have you seen the commercials for this website, MyHeritage? It's a genealogy website, and it lets anyone who uploads an old photo of a long-lost relative or friend produce a remarkably convincing short video of them looking around and smiling.
Jesus Christ.
They even have wrinkles around the eyes. They call it,
I hate it.
They call it deep nostalgia.
I hate it.
So to the naked eye, these videos are absolutely convincing. But to the trained eye, luckily, there are still issues. But Cosmo, here's the weird part about this case, that deep fake about Maddie Heim.
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan Magazine, they talked to this guy. His name is Henry Adger. He's a leading researcher and policy advisor on deep fakes, disinformation, and media manipulation.
Okay.
He looked at the video of Maddie. He doesn't think that it was a fake.
Oh, wow.
I watched the video and after reading that it was a deep fake, it was like I looked at the video and I was like, yeah, that's definitely a fake. You know, because I just had it like in my mind that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
But he looked at the video. He has a trained eye. Like this is his profession. And he looked at the video and he's like, there's awkward angles, the smoke, the vape pen hovering over her face. He's like, these would be borderline impossible to fake without it being like unmistakably fake.
So here's what I know about, and I don't know very much, but here's what I know about video facial editing apps, like apps like Snow that will change your face as you're recording.
Yeah.
You can tell that influencers do this when they put something across their face, you can see their face glitch. because it interrupts the facial recognition of the app. So for example, Kylie Jenner, you know, she has her whole skincare line.
Yeah.
She'll be doing a story where she's washing her face with her facial wash, but she has a filter already on her face. When she passes her hands over her face, you'll see her face glitch out. If you see someone like Nikita Dragon doing her makeup, you see her face glitch out a little bit. It shows that something is being done. And so if there's a vape pen crossing the face and it doesn't change or glitch or anything, I would imagine that that is really tough to do with a deep fake. Again, I don't know very much, so I'm just guessing.
No, that was a really excellent explanation. Yeah, so this guy, this expert that Cosmo talked to, he thinks the video is real, but also it's a small video. It's very low res. So these are all things to think about. The Doylestown police have really let this case unravel. They didn't do a good job. And one of the first policemen to work on the case was actually arrested for child pornography. He really like botched the whole thing.
Oh, good Lord.
Can I just go on a tangent for a second?
Sure.
While I was looking up police activity in Bucks County. Apparently, there is a prosecutor in Bucks County who makes $130,000 a year, who was demoted after being caught working as a DoorDash driver on county time.
What? On county time?
Why are you doing that when you make $130,000 a year? That's a lot of money. You do not need to do DoorDash while you're on the clock.
You know what? That's why some people are rich, is because they really just, they like the process of making money, you know?
Yeah.
It's the acquiring of it.
So botched things by the Doylestown police. The criminal complaints against Rafaela, they detail threatening texts that she allegedly sent to Maddie Heim, but the department has never provided evidence of their existence to Rafaela's legal counsel or to the public.
Whoa.
Like, that's the first thing you do. You take a screen capture of the phone, you know, you like plug the phone into a computer that downloads all the information, right?
Yeah. I screen capture every text I get and receive in case I need it as evidence for something else.
There are also programs that will duplicate your phone. Like, if you need your phone to be duplicated at any point in time, you can plug your phone into a computer and it'll essentially create like a digital version of your phone with all of the files that were on your phone at that place and time.
Well, that's terrifying.
That was never done. At a hearing this past July, a digital forensics expert made a complete copy of Rafaela's confiscated phone and testified that there were no deep fakes, pictures of any of the girls, texts to the girls, or apps that she used to create deep fakes or nudes.
Oh, man.
But also, like, if I were this crazy ass mom trying to get these girls kicked off the squad so my daughter could star, I wouldn't use my phone. I would maybe use like an old iPhone that I bought off of the internet from somebody that wasn't traced to me, right?
Yes. I would go on Craigslist. I would buy a phone under a fake account with cash. Like meet the person in person.
Yeah.
Wear a wig. Buy the phone.
And don't sign into your GD iCloud, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then one of the police detectives admitted that they had never even bothered to look at Maddie's phone.
Okay. So why did they botch this so badly? Is it because it was like a pretty girl and they didn't want to get her in trouble? What's going on?
Oh, Bethany, ding, ding, ding. It also came to light that one of these harassing texts wasn't even sent by anyone involved in cheerleading. There was like this 17-year-old boy named Ethan who was sending Maddie text messages like bark, bark, rough, rough with poop emojis.
Dudes, try harder.
Yeah.
Try harder to be jerks when you like, be more creative at least.
I think that the Doylestown, Pennsylvania Police Department just lost control of the case after the district attorney like tried to use it to gain notoriety for his upcoming election. Like it just, the media and all the attention it was getting, they just lost control. It was sloppy police work. Experts maintain that the clip would have been nearly impossible for Rafaela to fake. Maddie did break the rules and she claimed that it wasn't her. And the local police department was really eager to believe the innocence of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white cheerleader, and it blinded them to the real facts of the case.
Jeez.
And meanwhile, all of the people involved in this case, the girls, the moms, their names will forever be tarnished because of this case on the internet because of SEO.
Oh, yeah.
They're never going to be able to get away from it.
Yeah, it's like the number one thing that people have been looking for them. And so unless they hire some company to like flood the internet with fake websites that mention their names a lot and like push that SEO up, which is expensive, they're kind of screwed.
Anyway, maybe it wasn't a deep fake. Even still, deep fakes are a problem.
Yeah.
And now this case, unfortunately, sets the precedent that people are just going to claim deep fake even when the video is them.
That's crazy. I remember now that I see the mother's mugshot, I peripherally remember hearing about it.
Yeah.
Because her makeup is a tick severe. And unfortunately, that's what I remember.
Just a tick.
Hearing about. Which is unfair. But yeah, like you would have to be, I mean, she'd have to know someone because even last year, I feel like the technology wasn't there to create that good of a deep fake.
Bethany, this scares me. And you and I post shit on the internet all the time, videos of, you know, us doing this and photos of us doing that and stories and all sorts of stuff. And we are not alone. People in our generation post stuff all the time. And the better that this deep fake technology gets, the easier it will be for someone to take your image or your likeness and use it in a nefarious way against you.
My hope is that it's going to become so ubiquitous that it will be easy to believe that it's fake. Like, it's going to happen all the time. People making deep fakes of other people as revenge or whatever, that you're going to say that's very possibly a deep fake. It's going to be, it's not like it's this secret technology that no one knows exists. It's going to be so easily available to everyone that it's also easily believable that someone made a fake. You know, does that make sense?
I pray that you are right about that.
I pray I'm right too, because otherwise we're screwed.
I've spent so much money over the past few years trying to figure out my adult acne. Skincare products that actually work are really hard to find, and it's an industry that's really hard to navigate.
Totally. I don't know what your childhood was like, but I know when I was a kid, I had the worst acne. And that acne continues to today. But when I was a kid, going to a dermatologist wasn't something that you really did or even really knew about. If I had had access to easy acne products when I was a kid, it would have changed my life. And that's why I'm so excited that we've partnered with Apostrophe.
Apostrophe has this amazing online quiz, and I love a company that makes me take a quiz because they care more about me than other companies. And then after you answer all these questions, you upload pictures of your skin. And I was like, I've been preparing for this my whole life. Don't even have to take new pictures. Already have them on my phone.
Then they connect you with a board certified dermatologist who will create a personalized treatment plan that's perfectly tailored to your skin. And this isn't like a quote unquote medical professional. These are real dermatologists who have real practices and real offices and are real doctors. And they are helping you figure out exactly what treatments you need for your skin.
I have texture issues and I have dark spots and I have pimples. Why do I still have pimples?
And now you have Apostrophe.
What sets Apostrophe apart from other online skincare brands is that they actually use real doctors to look at your file, to look at the pictures of your skin, and prescribe you the medicine that you need.
So we have a special deal for you. You're going to save $15 off your first visit with a board certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/taste when you use our code TASTE. And this code is only available to our listeners.
So to get started, go to apostrophe.com/taste and then use our code TASTE at sign up and you'll get $15 off of your dermatology visit.
That's apostrophe.com/taste and use that code TASTE to get your dermatology visit and save $15. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Kathleen, how's your throat feeling?
It's been tough talking all this time.
Oh, honey. Okay, well, we're in segment four. It's almost done, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I came up with a game.
Oh, thank you.
That we can play. The good news is you do not have to talk at all during this game, okay?
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you.
So I want to make sure you're not in pain at all. So do you feel like, could you scream right now if you had to? Or is that, would you say that's too painful?
I don't know if I'd be able to scream real well.
Would you say that screaming would be the most painful thing you could do right now?
Sure. Yeah, it probably would be.
Okay. So this game is called Scream If You Disagree. Okay.
Oh, no.
So all you have to do, Kathleen, is scream if you disagree. All right.
Bethany, my tonsils are on fire. Why?
Yeah. So if you stay silent, we'll know that you agree. But again, the game is called Scream If You Disagree. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
This will be fun for everyone.
Am I going to need a lawyer at the end of this?
Gentle listener, play this with your friends or as a team building exercise. All right. Question number one for Scream If You Disagree, Kathleen. Summer is an awful season, and anyone who likes it is dumb. No. Scream if you disagree.
No, Bethany. No.
That's not a scream. That is. Did you? Does that sound like a scream? No, I don't hear a scream.
No.
Okay, great. No. Okay, great. No. Number two, Kathleen. Every home should feature at least one accent wall. Scream if you disagree.
No.
Great. Great. Number three.
Nope. Number three. No.
The best haircut you could possibly get is the Kate Gosselin. Flat iron swoops framing your face, spiky short pieces in the back, inch wide highlights.
No. No, Bethany. No.
I don't hear a scream. Do you hear a scream? I don't hear a scream.
Oh, my God.
All right, hold on. Your coughing is really drowning out the questions. So if you can refrain from coughing, that'd be great. Kathleen, would you say it's true? Would you agree that your favorite part about romantic comedies is the knowledge that all of the characters will eventually end up divorcing?
What? Bethany. No.
Kathleen, don't cough. Scream if you disagree.
No.
That's not a scream.
Bethany, okay. No.
All right, now let's three more, okay?
Oh, I'm tasting
bile. All right. Kathleen, scream if you disagree. Starting today, you promise to start every meal with a tall, lukewarm glass of delicious milk.
Bethany. Bethany, I'm so sorry.
How about this? How about this? Scream if you disagree, Kathleen. I'll hold for nose blow.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Bethany, I'm trying to scream, but it's.
I don't hear a scream, so
it's good to know we're on the same page. More mucus. Okay.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scream if you disagree. The hottest person you've ever seen is your brother Bert.
Bethany, no.
Bethany, I'm gonna need a scream.
I'm trying.
That's not a scream. That's a weird croaky growl.
I'm trying to get into the next octave so you know I'm seriously disagreeing.
Okay, last question and then the game is over. You've done great. Kathleen, scream if you disagree. You've Got Mail is the worst movie you've ever seen.
No, Bethany. No. No. Oh, no. No, Bethany.
Kathleen, it's not called cough if you disagree. It's called scream. You failed the whole game.
Bethany, I have streptococcus in my throat. Oh, my God. I hate you.
You said off the air that they gave you a shot. Where did they give you the shot? Was it in your butt?
They gave it to me in my arm. And the doctor was like, your tonsils are really swollen. I want to give you this shot so it'll open up your airways.
Sure.
And Bethany, it literally left me with an arm that was on fire for 25 minutes.
That's insane. So you could feel it go like going in and through your veins?
Coursing through my veins, like when Bella became a vampire in Twilight.
I don't understand how that works. Do our veins have nerve endings? I feel like they shouldn't, right? How can you feel it?
I'm the wrong person to ask. It was only a few years ago.
You're not a doctor?
That I found out that the balls on a man are in one sack, okay?
Yeah, the ball sack. Famously, it's called a ball sack.
I thought there were two sacks, but whatever. I'm not very good at anatomy.
Had you never seen one before?
I just hadn't looked closely, but...
Ah, gotcha.
Nonetheless,
Why I'm Googling, why can you feel medicine
coursing through your veins?
Going through your veins? ?
Medicine is an amazing thing, but sometimes it really hurts.
There's no answer. Great.
Speaking of medicine, I was reading this really interesting story about how men now are freezing their sperm.
Really?
So they have good fertile sperm if they want to make a baby in the future.
I think that I just assumed that sperm was always good. You know, like one of those, like, nature is unfair. Like, men don't get older, they get more handsome. And, like, those kind of things.
It's really not fair. And they do get more handsome as they get older. And it's fucked up.
It's awful. Because you hear about, you know, men in their 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Knocking up a lady, getting her in the family way. I just assumed sperm was always good.
Well, apparently if you have low testosterone levels,
yeah,
it's better to freeze them before you have depleted your testosterone levels completely.
Oh, low T, those commercials I'm always hearing about in the afternoons.
And I thought that was a refreshing thing, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Because I'm of the age where more than one friend of mine who wants to have a baby has had their eggs frozen.
I don't know anyone who's had their eggs frozen. I know people who've donated their eggs.
Mm.
Man, it's a process. That's a lot of hormones that you're going.
It is, yeah.
Putting in your bod.
I infiltrated a local mommy's group.
What? What?
Okay.
What do you do with your free time?
Bethany, because, you know, we were just talking about crazy sports moms who, like, give up their whole life, sports parents, so their children. It's just, it's insanity. It's the amount of time that sometimes families devote to these sports. I mean, I get it. Sports are good for kids. But like, if I ever become a parent, I don't want my whole life to be consumed by it. So I got into a local moms group because I've like been thinking about maybe now's the right time to have a kid. But I was like, I just want to see what I'm up against. Like, what are these moms talking about in these groups?
Okay, what are you finding out?
That they are wondering if they have to provide parking for their nannies.
Okay.
And
all right.
And what to do when the maid robs them.
Okay, Kathleen, what mommy's group did you join?
I joined the Hoboken mommy's group.
Okay. These women need to get a taste of the real world. I think you need to join maybe a different mommy's group of women who are not, I don't know, born on third base. Not to overgeneralize, but that's kind of what it sounds like these women are talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to see like what the other moms in my neighborhood were talking about. And it's nothing that I'm interested in.
It doesn't sound like it's for you.
It's not for me.
Yeah. I know many parents who have become parents and are like, I hate the other parents.
Yeah.
Like they don't like doing play dates because they have nothing in common with the other parents. And it's tough.
God. Can you imagine having to go to the playground and then, I don't know, talk about the Real Housewives or something?
I think that is why, like, I'm not someone who could really afford a nanny. Mm. But I think I would want to get a nanny just so I didn't have to go to the playground. I'd be like, I'd try to get some extroverted nanny who could do all the social interaction for me.
Yes.
So that the kid, you know, grows up like well-adjusted, but I don't have to be around people who are like, let's look at all the same bedazzled coffee mugs together and get our treat, like our cheat latte, which is soy milk with just a half a Splenda because it's a real decadent. Like I don't, if I have to be around that as a mother, no, thank you.
There's this new show on Netflix called Motel Makeover. It's actually really such a good show. These two girls, Bethany, I feel like you and I could do this. They're our age. They're from Canada. They buy motels. They basically put their houses like up for loan and they buy these motels and remake them over and they make it like a destination, like these motels in the middle of nowhere. So they buy this remote Canadian motel and they go into the local coffee shop and they're trying to order coffee. And they're like, do you have oat milk? The girl behind the counter is like, no. Do you have almond milk? The girl behind the counter is like, no. Finally, they're like, okay, I'll take the soy milk. And the girl behind the counter is like, we don't have soy milk. And they're like, remote Canada where we're building our motel. We have to open a better coffee shop than this. And the thing is that these girls are not even snobby. They're just people that I feel like I could be friends with.
Yeah, they just don't want to eat dairy.
They just don't want to eat dairy.
They're not like you, Kathleen. They don't love starting every day with a tall, lukewarm glass of milk.
My God, Bethany.
Which you clearly do. And we all know that now. And it's okay. The secret's out. And sometimes it's nice to step into your honesty.
So when we buy our motel, it's going to be a mix of like spooky themed rooms.
Yeah.
And then also rainbow themed rooms.
Yeah, so that's great. There's like two wings.
So we attract the like colorful LGBTQ crowd. And then we attract the crowd that's into haunted.
We just want the gays and the weirdos.
Imagine, imagine a pool that half of it's painted black and the other half is the LGBTQ flag.
Kathleen, this would be perfect. I think that this is actually, I think this is a Venn diagram with a huge amount of like an intersection the size of a dinner plate. This is an untapped market, Kathleen, that's just looking for a place to stay in rural Canada.
Indeed, indeed. Hey, Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Kathleen, I learned that whittling is my new favorite thing.
Oh.
I freaking love it. You can get an affordable whittling knife set from, who's this one by? Beavercraft. I think it's like three knives. Don't laugh. Kathleen, why are you laughing? What about the name Beavercraft makes you giggle?
Bethany, I can't even say it on the pod.
No, you sure can. What about Beavercraft makes you giggle, Kathleen?
I just picture like some vaginas sitting around a table doing decoupage. Sorry. Continue.
Never apologize for decoupage. And so it's like three knives. They're like $30. And there is something so satisfying, and it's good for your brain to have something in your hands, doing something with your hands. I'm not a knitter. And, you know, so I've been whittling, and boy, is it good and fun, and I really love it. What about you, Kathleen? What did you learn this week?
I learned that the town of Akron, Ohio has been terrorized by an unknown person for 10 years, and this person is pooping on cars.
Oh, no! The great mystery Akron pooper?
Yes, Bethany. Look, I'm not going to tell you any more than that. You have to look into it yourself. This has been going on for 10 years.
Lo, but a decade ago, we were a peaceful town of Akron. And now we've been hit with the Akron pooper, the great deuce of Akron.
I'm dying.
Kathleen, scream if you're not the Akron deucer. Scream if you're not the Akron deucer.
I'm not the Akron deucer, Bethany.
Scream it at the top of your lungs. I'm not the Akron deucer.
I'm not the Akron deucer. Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on social media. On Twitter, we're at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There is a Philly meetup coming up October in Philadelphia. So sign up for that if you live in the area.
Yeah, but great Philly meetup. All of our sexy lady horses are getting together and they're going to have a good time. Make some decoupage. You can also find us on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have an email address, and that's anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. Save it into your phone, so when you're like drunk, give us a call. 917-994-0353.
We also have a snail mail address, and that's anacquiredtastepodcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. It really does help. I know a lot of podcasts say that, but we're not making it up. It really does help. I don't know how or why, but it does. And it helps other people find us.
Yeah, leave us some love notes in the review section, pretty please.
Or say that you're not the Akron deucer, and we'll know what you mean.
This podcast is edited by Dennis Callow, and you can follow him on social media at DennisCallo.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey guys, this is Alicia calling from the great state of Alabama, trying not to sound like a country bumpkin, but I was calling in regards to the last podcast about natural spring water. I don't know how it's done in like cities such as the Smoky Mountains or anything, but my family actually lives in backwoods, and they actually have a natural spring that runs year round. And what I have been told is that the water runs through the rocks and comes out in a little pipe out of a rock wall. It comes out naturally cool. It tastes really good. It's not filled with any like bad things that they use to put in water and that they use to purify. It's naturally purified by the grounds and the rocks. It goes through its irrigation process through the rocks. So yeah, I don't know if it's that explains how they do it. Maybe that's how they do it in like other states, which is Great Smoky Mountains, which has their own bottling company. But yeah, maybe that gives a little bit of answers to it. Y'all have a nice day.
Hi, ladies, and hi, Taste Buds. This is Lauren from Tampa. I just had to call because I was listening to this week's episode about the people, like, not knowing if someone's living in your house and then a haunted place and such. So I was listening to the podcast while working, and then, like, once it finished, I was just finishing up something, like a project before putting anything on, so I was sitting in silence. And all of a sudden, I hear, like, the dun-dun of when, like, you turn on Netflix from my bedroom, and I look to my left. I have one cat there. Downstairs is the other cat. I'm like, this is bad timing, or perfect timing, I guess, for this to happen. So I literally grab my phone. I go, like, walk very slowly into my bedroom. Thankfully, no one was there. And so I proceeded to look up that apparently Netflix can come out of sleep mode on your TV and play, like, a sick prank and give you a heart attack. So no one's in my house. It was just really, really funny timing, and I wanted to share. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Bye.
Hey, ladies. It's Taste Bud Michelle. I'm calling because I was listening to the most recent pod, and Bethany was talking about how, I think she said her and her actor friends would have like a session where they just got stuff done together. And I actually learned about this recently in the ADHD community, and we know it as body doubling. So if you are like me and you have ADHD, but I think people who don't have ADHD also sometimes can have trouble doing things. But like miraculously, when you have someone doing something with you or just like being there while you do the thing, it helps you get it done really easily. So yeah, that's why body doubling works. If you don't have a group of friends, which like, I mean, if you're a Taste Bud and you're part of the Facebook group, you have a group of friends. But if you're looking for something else, there's also an app and a website called, now it popped out of my head. I can't think of what it is now. I'll post it on Facebook though. Anyway, you can go on there and do like a body doubling type of thing. Just wanted to share that little tidbit of information. Okay, bye.
Hey, Taste Bud Courtney here. So I was listening to the latest podcast, and when you guys started talking about shoes and slippers and whatnot, it made me think of my favorite thing to tell people who live anywhere north of me, which I live in South Florida, so it's a lot of people. My favorite thing to tell people who don't live in South Florida is I don't own any socks. Like, maybe I could probably scrounge up a pair of gym socks somewhere. But yeah, I don't own socks. There's no need for them. I wear Rothy's to work and flip-flops whenever I'm out. So yeah, South Floridians, we don't own socks. All right, love you both. Love all the buds. Have a great day.